This is an Alien UFO Podcast Extra Episode. I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Alien UFO Podcast is to investigate all things that are part of the wider UFO phenomena. I'm looking at UFO sightings, alien abduction, historic cases and other related events. And every Thursday I release an episode called UFO Encounters, so please check them out. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So in this episode, I'm talking to Bill Rowntree about his book, Aliens Are With Us, what I learned from aliens visiting me over 100 times, spanning 50 years. At age 11, Bill realized he was being visited by intelligent life from another place or time. These visits have continued throughout his life. Hi, Bill. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
So we're going to talk about your book. It's called Aliens Are With Us. This is where you've had these experiences throughout your whole life, but you've only just kind of published this book now. Why did you wait so long?
Well, early on, I tried to talk to my family about it. You know, it started like when I was like 7, 8 years old, and I tried to talk to my family about it. Of course, I was ridiculed. You know, my father would question it, and then my siblings ridiculed me, and so I kind of started kind of early on to not want to talk about it. And then at one point, once they kind of identified who they were and they spoke, I kind of started to breach the subject with some friends of mine, and they, of course, ridiculed me. So I just kind of learned early on to kind of not talk about it. And this started back in the late 60s. So it was kind of a very kind of fringe type of topic. And then, of course, I got into a career, and all the career implications, and it was just a lot. So I just kind of kept quiet about it my whole life. And one thing, as you get older, you know, you care less what people think. So that's kind of one reason I came forward. Another one, a lot of other people are coming forward, like, the Navy pilots, et cetera, talking about their experiences with the UAPs. You know, theirs are not actually encounters. But I kind of retired away from my job. I didn't need the money. I didn't do it because I needed the money. I did it just because I think it's kind of absurd to have these kind of experiences and keep it a big secret, you know. So I just felt like my story needed to be told.
It started when you were 7 years old?
Yeah, so my parents moved us from a three-bedroom house where I used to share a bedroom with my brother to a four-bedroom house. So age seven, I had my own bedroom. And, I saw something in the room. I wasn't sure what it was. This was kind of the first time it happened. I just saw something and I was scared to death. And so I went running into my brother's room. He had two twin beds. And so I stayed in his room, kind of told my family and brother I was scared. They said, okay, you know, you can stay with your brother. And that kind of was okay for about a year. Then when I was about 8 years old, he was like 3 years older than me. He was 11. So he wanted his own space. And so I went back up to my room. And I saw something was there, but I just kind of covered my head up. You know, I tried to talk to my father about it, and he tried to explain, no, this is something, a shadow you're seeing on the wall. He went in my room with me saying, okay, what do you see? And I was trying to show him, you know, what it might have been. And he said, maybe that was it. Maybe it's a shadow on the floor. And I knew it wasn't, but I just kind of gave up trying to convince him. So I just stayed in my room. I kept my head covered and with nothing but my eyes and nose and mouth uncovered, basically. So I just kind of narrowed my field of vision. And I just slept in my room like that for a couple of years, just kind of not looking around, not wanting to see anything. And then when I was about 10 years old, it was a hot night and I didn't have the covers over me. I woke up and I saw something in the room. You know, the room was pretty dark, so I couldn't tell what it was. But I saw something was there, scared me to death. I jumped up, turned on my lights. It was gone. Couldn't see anything. So the next day I got a nightlight from my mother. And she kind of knew there was something going on. She kind of smirked and handed me the nightlight. So I put the nightlight in my room where I could see, you know, I could have a good view of that part of the room. So it was a fairly bright nightlight. And so I still kind of kept my eyes covered. But then one night when I was 10 years old, I saw something clearly inside my room. You know, it was like I opened my eyes and I saw this. It looked like a large camera, basically. It's like 1.5 by 2.5 feet. And it was like floating off the floor. And so I just sat and stared at it, thinking maybe it's not real. Maybe I'm just imagining something. So I just sat looking at it. For several minutes had passed, probably 10 minutes. And finally, I was kind of tired of it sitting there. So I jumped up, went running towards it, and was where my light was, actually. It was kind of between me and my light switch. Running towards it, and slowly like faded away and kind of like pulled up. It looked like a large camera on like an arm that could be extended and just kind of faded away as I reached for it. And so that first night I saw that, of course, I was scared to death and drew a picture of what it looked like, which I've included in the book, and just stayed awake all night. You know, I was scared to go back to sleep. And that was, you know, like I said, 10 or 11 years old was the first time I saw it clearly. And then I continued to see it. Yeah, as years went by.
How big was it? Was it like the size of a TV or was it a shoebox? Or
yeah, it was about 2 feet wide, 1.5 feet tall. It was a rectangular. It looked like just a large camera. And it would just kind of sit there and observe me. And I continued to see it like 2 or 3 times a year, very clearly. You know, I was always scared to death, and I kind of get into more details in the book how scared I was. I mean, you can imagine something like that in your room, and you know, I knew it wasn't from this world. I was never into science fiction or anything like that. You know, I was never, you know, had any reason to imagine something like that. But you know, the fact that I saw it so many times, I continued to see it 2 or 3 times for the next 50 plus years, and it's the only thing outside of this, you know, not from this world that I've ever seen in my whole life. It wasn't my imagination. It's not like I opened my eyes and it just faded away. No, I would sit there for 10 minutes watching it. I would sit up in bed sometimes and just sit there and look at it, and it still didn't go away. It rarely went away until I jumped out of bed and kind of dashed towards it. You know, I mean, I would sit up in my bed. It would sit there. I'd throw my legs down, you know, my feet down to the floor, continue just sitting there. Rarely left until I jumped up and kind of dashed towards it.
Did the room seem different? Because I've heard people talk about something called the Oz factor. It's like that. It's almost a movie cliche when the people are out in the forest and suddenly all the animals stop making any noises because something creepy is coming. But people have UFO encounters talk about an Oz factor where it just seems like the atmosphere in the room, there's just something different. It's like you're slightly shifted.
Interesting. No, that was not my experience. My experience was just kind of, it was kind of in the room observing me. It was kind of like, it was just there. The room didn't really change looks. I didn't feel like I was, you know, missing any time or anything like that. It was just a device sitting there observing me.
Do you feel may have been there a lot more, but you just didn't wake up that night?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was there a lot more often. I just, I just saw it 2 or 3 times a year because I still kept my eyes covered. I still do to this day. I sleep with the sheets up over my head with just my, you know, eyes showing kind of on my side, very small field of vision because, you know, I'll get into that later, but I mean, I still have, you know, some encounters that are very scary, even though it's been coming so often. I mean, you know, so I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit maybe, but when I was 14 years old, it appeared in my room and it spoke to me for the first time. And then it was, you know, a very clear, distinct man's voice. I knew it was kind of like telepathic. It wasn't something my siblings or parents could have heard. Just kind of, for some reason, I kind of knew it was telepathic voice. And that's when they told me they were aliens from another world. And, that's, you know, when they first kind of identified who they were. And that time after they spoke, as soon as they spoke, they left. The device kind of faded away and kind of pulled up and left. And I didn't have to rush at it like I did all the other times. And that, of course, It was another really scary experience. I got up and wrote down, you know, what they said and kind of hid it with a picture that I had written. I hid it between some magazines. My siblings would never find it.
When it faded away, was it a kind of, what do you call it, a slow dissolve?
Yeah, it was a slow dissolve. It just kind of slowly faded away. It wasn't a quick fade at all. And it kind of pulled up a little too, you know, like I said, it had looked like it had the some retractable arms, two little arms kind of retracted, kind of pulled up a little bit and kind of just slowly faded away.
Did you get the impression that perhaps it might still be there, but you just couldn't see it?
Yeah, absolutely, which is why I usually stayed awake the rest of the night, kept the lights on in the room. Once they spoke to me, I thought, okay, so they can probably read my mind. You know, since they can speak to me telepathically, I think they could read my mind. And so they were, they, you know, who knows how often they were observing me and reading my mind, kind of like an experiment, basically, to see what you know, a human would do when being observed and how I progressed, how I grew up, et cetera. It was, you know, clearly a very weird experience and always very scary.
And you also, a couple of times you woke up and you were paralyzed?
Yeah, the first time that happened, I was like about 17 years old. I was in the house by myself. I lived my brother and sister off to college. My parents had divorced. My mother had married someone living in another state, but we kept the house, and she would come visit. And so I was 17, woke up. I heard something. I heard something that sounded exactly like something was being pulled across a sheet, just a sliding noise, like something was pulled across my sheet. I tried to open my eyes. I couldn't open my eyes. Anytime I tried to make any sort of movement at all, it was like I was being kept in place by some sort of electrical force. It wasn't a painful force at all. It was just like, you know, anytime I tried to move anything, open my eyes, do anything, it was like a vibrating kind of force. So I kept trying over and over again. And if I laid there still, I didn't feel anything at all. But if I attempted to move, even like I said, opening my eyes, I felt this paralyzing kind of force. I'm not really sure how long that went on, but all of a sudden it stopped and I popped out of bed, you know, turned on all the lights. You know, I always had a nightlight in my room, but turned on all the lights and, you know, actually, you know, I just went out to the other room and stayed awake all night kind of watching television just because I was scared to go back to bed because I thought they could still be there, you know, and who knows what was going to happen next because it was like, okay, they were like, they were beginning to, go further. Before they were watching me, now they like physically visited me. You know, what could be next? You know, I didn't want to be, you know, taken away or whatever might have happened, you know. So it was a terrifying experience, as you can imagine. That was the first time that happened. Then about a year later, it happened again. This time I didn't hear this sound. It sounded like something being pulled across the bed. Instead, I just heard some other noise that kind of woke me up. And again, I couldn't move, you know, and I wished I'd kind of like counted or something to get some idea of how long it lasted. But I don't think it lasted that long unless I was actually unconscious for a while. It seemed to last maybe 10 minutes. But this time when it stopped, I hopped up and kind of like checked my body over to see if, you know, I'd been like operated on or any incisions or whatever. I mean, who knows what they were doing. So, and those are the only two times in my life that I've ever had that experience. Which is another reason I kind of believe it was them visiting. You know, it was just a different thing they were doing to me, so to speak. And that's when I tried to talk to my friends about it too. It was another time I tried to talk to our friends. There were two times I did that one. We're 17 years old. I was with my friends in a car driving around. We'd park somewhere to talk, and I kind of like brought it up. I said, "Have you ever kind of woken up and not been able to move? Had a, you know, feeling like you were being held in place?" And of course, they were like, you know, teasing me, and, you know, so I quickly just changed the subject. And there's another, you know, another instance kind of teaching me I can't really talk to other people about it.
So this device that was showing up in your room, you feel it was watching you. And when you're 7 years old, you would think it's just visual. But do you wonder if it might have been scanning you in other ways, like medical staff looking into your body, as well as maybe reading your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as I got older, I kind of thought that. When I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, I just, you know, I didn't really think that, you know, that deeply about it as far as what it could have been doing. But as time went on, that's when I began thinking, you know, well, first of all, obviously, why did they pick me? And I think kind of maybe it's because my general personality is someone who doesn't like, you know, freak out when something happens. I'm pretty calm, collected, you know, I'm a good patient for doctors. I just didn't take it. So maybe, you know, that's why they kept coming back to me, because I was a good patient to experiment on or observe. But I definitely think they were like, you know, besides reading my mind, they were probably doing other things too. I'm sure they have the capability. So, yeah, definitely.
And through all the years, this has been happening. You say two or three times a year for your whole life.
Yes, yeah, definitely my whole life. And it's funny. So I went off to college, and I lived in a fraternity room, you know, with a bunch of other guys. I never saw it there, but I actually was only there for like, you know, 6 months or so. But then another point in life, I had an apartment with my friends. So it was in a different location. And it came and visited me there, the exact same kind of scenario. I didn't have a nightlight. What I did when I was in some place like that, I would like leave the door cracked, the bathroom light on. I always had to have some light in the room just to, you know, to be able to know what's going on a little bit better. But anyway, so it visited me there, and that's kind of when I realized, okay, so it's not location specific. Somehow they can find me, you know. I don't know, you know, I don't know if they did some tracking device or, you know, they're able to, you know, read brainwaves, like people can read fingerprints and find me. So it continued to happen in other locations. And then like when I got married, it was funny, but I mean, they kept visiting me then also. But the funny part was I would open my eyes and, you know, of course, my wife, girlfriend, whoever's with me that I had a light on, they would complain, I don't like a light on. I said, I need the light so I can find my way to the bathroom. Of course, I wasn't going to tell them what was really going on. But I woke up many times actually with my wife or girlfriend, and I saw the device watching. And so I would kind of like try to wake them up because I wanted them to be able to see it too. I'd kind of like nudge them and they didn't wake up, and nudge them a little harder, they didn't wake up. And then I'd like kind of like do a fake cough and kind of like shove them, you know,
yeah.
And then wake up and say, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I must be asleep. And as soon as they spoke, the device would fade away. You know, it's pretty clear they didn't want anybody else to see them, which I kind of get in my book about that later too, as far as, you know, I don't think the aliens are kind of ready to show themselves to humans yet. They feel like we're not ready. But anytime I tried to involve someone else, the device would fade away.
And so nobody through your whole life has seen it as well. It's kind of sneaky like that. It'll just fade away if there's a chance.
Yeah, but just me. Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever think of getting a camera and keeping it by the bed?
Yeah, someone actually said that. But of course, you know, someone said that to me later after they read my book. But anyway, you know, in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, it was not even a thought. And actually, it's never really a fault because it was so erratic. It was just a few times a year, you know, I'd have to keep the camera next to me all the time. It would need a flash. And, you know, if I attempted to do it, you know, it may make them mad, you know, I don't know. Or it would, they may disappear. If they could read my mind, they would know what I was getting ready to do. I just never really thought about it, actually, you know, considering the complications. I mean, trying to take a picture of something like that in a room that's not well lit, you know, how the phones and cameras have to like freeze for a few seconds before it flashes. And then it just never really consideration. I think part of it is like, I didn't want to anger them. And I knew they would know what I was doing. It's kind of a combination.
And have you ever had a time in your life where you've had a missing time?
So it's interesting. When it was like 2020, I believe it was, I had an experience where first time I ever kind of felt like I was actually maybe abducted, taken up to the ship. It was a very unusual experience. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and it was, that was when I heard something on my roof. This time I was asleep and kind of had a feeling that I was being kind of like sucked up. I felt like I could feel like I was like turning around, you know, twisting as I went up. I could see the earth kind of fade away beneath me. And it kind of went from that to all of a sudden, bam, I was back down. I was like, went down quickly, back down into my bed. And I woke up, sat up immediately, and I was really dizzy. I had to kind of like steady myself, and I laid back down. And that's that moment I thought, okay, you know, I think I was just abducted. But I broke my book into two sections. One is what I know, what I believe. I put this in what I believe because, you know, I didn't really physically see something. But anyway, that was kind of a moment I felt like maybe I was abducted. And if so, there was definitely missing time involved, but it's not like I looked at the clock before or after or anything like that. So I know there isn't any missing time. It was just the fact that, you know, I went from being spinning, going up, seeing the earth kind of fade away beneath me, all of a sudden, bam, back down, like in a split second, I was back down.
Would you ever consider doing hypnosis to try and recover memories?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, I don't know what, I mean, it may be interesting, but as far as, you know, kind of the benefit from it, I'm not sure what it would be, because I kind of like, you know, think as far as the whole aliens and people writing books like this, including myself, you know, kind of divide the world the people into like thirds. Like a third of the people are going to believe it's true. A third of the people will say, you know, maybe it's true. And a third of the people are skeptics and they're not going to believe it no matter what. You know, I could show up on Oprah or whatever with an alien and they still wouldn't believe it. But I mean, I've thought about the hypnosis, but I don't know, you know, what benefit. I guess maybe it would be like some further, you know, proof of what's happened to me, possibly.
Yeah, I suppose there's that thing of finding out something that which could be really scary, and afterwards you think, I wish I hadn't done this.
Well, exactly, right. I started reading a book, what's the name of that book? Communion, about alien abduction when I was like 30 or something. I bought the book and kind of read a few pages, like, I can't read this. It hit home too much. It was just too scary. So I kind of think the same thing with the hypnosis. It'd probably scare me even more. The rest of my life, I'd be frightened about what I've been through and what may be coming again, you know? So that's kind of another reason.
The cover of that book has been quite a trigger for some people. I've talked to several people on this podcast who say when they first saw that book in the bookshop, that cover with that face on it, that there was some kind of a shock for them, almost like they recognized the face.
Interesting. Yeah, so the reason for the cover of the book, and I kind of get into my book a little bit, obviously that's why the cover, but anyway, I kind of get into it in the book, but I feel like, so my wife passed away, our son was 11, and I feel like part of what I've experienced, she was kind of like, she was kind of involved in some of it. At one point, the second time they spoke to me, they kind of alluded to the fact that I needed to be in California where my son was. That didn't make sense to me at the time. I tried to figure it out, and that's kind of when I started thinking, okay, maybe it was to benefit our son together. So I feel like our, you know, we're our souls are connected with other souls, sometimes in eternity. And at one point, I had a really vivid dream about her coming back to see me, and that's, her eyes looked like this. When I was doing the book cover, I kind of gave the picture of my wife to the woman doing the cover, and you know, those are the eyes that she chose, because I kind of feel like aliens are, you know, not aliens, but our souls we've you know, been connected to throughout our life are still connected to us after they pass away. And I think she's kind of like, it's kind of hard to explain, but I think it kind of helped me connect aliens with our souls, and this whole connection. Since the second time they spoke to me, they alluded to the fact that it was good I was in California, which was where our son lived, to be there to support him, which kind of made me believe that, you know, aliens are involved with this, and aliens are also involved with our souls being connected to us. So that's kind of the reason for the eyes and the on the cover.
And I wanted to ask you about this thing that happened when you were in bed and you heard some noises on the roof in the snow?
Yeah, that was another really frightening experience. This was in 2020. Or no, it was 2019. It was the winter of 2019 that happened. And so I was have a house in California in the mountains, and it gets a lot of snow. And I was up there for COVID because I was working remotely from that house. And I was laying in bed, and I'd gotten up and gone to the bathroom. The sun was barely starting to rise. There was just a little bit of light, but not much. I got back into bed because it was cold. And as soon as I got back in bed, I heard something on the roof. And, you know, I laid there just extremely frightened. I mean, I've been in that house, you know, hundreds of times where there's been snow on the roof. And I know what the sound is when the snow is settling and moving a little bit on the roof. But this time I was 100% convinced that there was something walking around on the roof over my house. My house is a chalet style. So, my head is like a few feet from the roof. And I heard the walking noise banging around, and I was thinking, well, maybe because I'm kind of some people ski over the top of my house sometimes because the snow builds up behind my house. And so I thought maybe it's a skier. And I thought, no, that doesn't make sense because it's the time of day. And I thought maybe it's a bear or something, another hibernating. Whatever it was heavy enough to make a noise that, you know, it wasn't a squirrel or something. So I laid there extremely frightened because I thought, you know, it has to be the aliens again, because there was nothing else could be. And they visited me so many times in my life. And I laid there again, my head covered up, hiding, you know, being real quiet. And here it was just a few years ago. So I was 60 some years old, but still scared of it. And so it went on for about 20 minutes, and then it stopped. And I laid there a little while longer waiting for the sun to come out. And I went out the next morning, and there's a fresh blink of snow across the yard. So it's really easy to see some tracks. And there's some tracks that either started or ended the house that went to the middle of the yard and then stopped. And they were like, I don't know, like 2 inches wide, 14 inches long, sometimes a little longer because there's probably sliding involved. It looked like maybe some sort of, you know, alien version of snowshoes. But it's extremely odd. It was like a walking pattern too. And there's like probably 50 of them spreading for 30 feet. And the really odd part was that started or stopped in the middle of the yard. It's not like it was next to a tree. There was just no logical explanation for it. And I took a picture of this and a video of this. And the picture's in the book. But I asked a couple of mountain men friends of mine who are like big hunters and been in the snow for a long time. And they know, you know, tracks. And they said, I've never seen any animal leave a track like that. And then the guy jokingly says, maybe he's an alien. And this guy knew nothing about my book.
Yeah, and I saw the picture in the book, and it does look weird to me. I'm not an outdoorsman or anything, but it's almost like there was somebody with wearing really small skis walking along. But the tracks just start in the middle of nowhere, don't they? You don't see them coming in from somewhere.
Right. They start or end in the beginning of in the middle of the yard and end at the house. So it was just totally bizarre. That combined with the sound over my head, combined with my lifetime full of experiences where I know 100% fact I was being visited because by that device, you know, is, you know, pretty much, you know, it has to be the aliens visiting as far as I'm concerned. But I still put in the section what I believe because I actually didn't see the aliens, but still. Backed up by what my friend said about could be maybe it's an alien. You know, that's all he could come up with because no animals leave tracks like that.
So do you have any idea of why they would pick you to do this?
Other than the fact that, you know, I make a good, you know, patient because, you know, I sit quietly and don't scream and, you know, don't freak out too much. Either that or maybe... You know, maybe there's some other reason. Maybe, you know, it's a past life type thing. You know, maybe, I don't really know, to tell the truth. I mean, I'm sure the whole, I kind of get into this book also as far as angels, you know, 70% of the people in the U.S., I kind of cite a study, 70% of the adults in the U.S. believe in angels. And so I kind of believe that angels are actually, you know, souls that we were connected with in a past life. since some of my experiences kind of make me also believe that the aliens are involved with this, as far as these souls that are connected with us, somehow they are involved. And, maybe that's why I was chosen. Maybe it's because one of the angels or something, that one of my past life, a person from a past life had something to do with it. I'm not sure why I was chosen, actually.
Yeah, it's something I've heard a couple of times with people who talk about being, they call them experiences, don't they? Not, they don't want to be called abductees or contactees, right? So much. But a couple of times I've heard them say that they complain to the ETs, why are you doing this to me? You got no right. And they say something like, oh, we got the right. You agreed to this before you were born.
Oh, interesting. I've not heard that. I kind of believe the same thing. I think it has something to do with past lives and our souls. Our souls existing forever, and for some reason that's why I was chosen, or that's why I was involved with it.
And do you get other weird little things happening? Because I've heard about these after effects with other people, where they might get little psychic flashes, or they might have amazing synchronicities turn up.
Yeah, I had a reincarnation kind of experience when I was younger. when I was like in my 20s, I believe it was, I just all of a sudden just had this urge to get in my car and drive west. I've never kind of been in the Northwest. I was, got in my car, threw my dog in my car and some camping gear, drove across the country. The very next day, this is leaving from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, I was in Nebraska, which is a long way, so I drove a lot, pulled off this random exit, drove into this random park, got out and walked up to the sign. It happened to be a exhibit, I guess you could say, about soldiers from that town that had died in World War II. I read about this one guy in particular who had died in the Pacific during World War II, as a Marine in the Pacific in World War II. And I just started crying as soon as I read it, got back in my car and drove home. And I've had this feeling in the past where, like, if I'm laying down on the sofa or something, this kind of this feeling like I've been pulled up by my legs. I had my legs tied together and pulled upside down and hung out upside down by my legs. So it's kind of like, that kind of fits into that experience, as far as I know, things like that happen to the soldiers in the Pacific especially. And so, yeah, it's kind of another reason I believe in reincarnation. I know it's, certainly no proof, but it was just such an odd experience. It definitely made me think some reincarnation was involved.
So when was the last time something happened?
The last time something happened was that incident. So in 2019, it was the incidents of something walking on the roof. In 2020 was the feeling where I feel like I was, kind of abducted possibly, went up to a spaceship or something. I'm not sure. That was actually the last time. It's never been this long before, which is kind of interesting.
And do you have an idea of what the ETs are doing here? Because it seems so bizarre, of some things I hear. There's also this thing of, if they really wanted to make sure nobody knew they were here, then nobody would ever see them. But it's almost like they're allowing something to bleed through into us, into our society and our knowledge.
Yeah, I kind of think they're like they're kind of slowly easing into it, just kind of get us used to the idea of their existence. It seems to be kind of more and more, like you said, kind of bleeding through. So I kind of think they're trying to get us used to the idea of their existence. Eventually it can be revealed, just make us ready for it. I think kind of based on what they said to me when I was like 14 years old, they first spoke to me, that they left us here on the beach thousands of years ago, which is kind of plays into my cover too, the footprints on the sand, which is why I chose that. So I believe that, they were involved with our creation. I don't think, they mated with us, as some people say. I think they're a little more sophisticated than that. Probably some messed around with the DNA of some animals that lived here on Earth or something along those lines. I think somehow they're involved with our creation on Earth. And, you know, I'm not sure if we're an experiment or how, you know, there's so many different theories about it, but I think kind of that's why they have this interest in Earth. They've been involved in Earth for a long time.
Well, it's been great talking to you. The book's called Aliens Are With Us, and that's out on Amazon, isn't it?
Yes, it's on Amazon, yep. I think it's been great talking to you, too. It's kind of nice to get this off my chest and finally get it out in the open.
And do you have a website?
I sure do. It's aliensarewithus.com. And so one of the reasons I created the website is because, you know, I've always kind of wanted to be able to talk to other people about it, you know, so I added a forum to the website. And I've actually had some people reach out to me through the forum, you know, thanking me for the book, thanking me for creating the forum. You know, they're kind of in a similar situation. They had experiences that they don't want to talk to anybody about. They feel like they can't talk to anybody about. And so that's kind of why I created the forum. It's kind of fun to be able to, you know, talk to other people about experiences that we share. And I'm waiting for someone to come forward and say, hey, I had something looking like, you know, kind of resembled a giant camera watching me for 50 years, you know. I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Thanks, Simon. It's been great talking to you.
And that was an interview with Bill Rowntree about his book, Aliens Are With Us. What I learned from aliens visiting me over 100 times, spanning 50 years. And a great way to support this podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. If you join the $2 a month tier, you get an extended episode every month. If you join the $5 a month tier, you'll have access to an extended episode every week. When you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And there's now more than 100 extended episodes in the back catalogue. And please check out my other podcast. It's called Our Paranormal Afterlife. There are over 300 episodes. On the Our Paranormal Afterlife podcast, I look into evidence of the afterlife such as near-death experiences, children with past life memories, mediumship, deathbed visions, and other phenomena. I also release an extra episode of Our Paranormal Afterlife every Thursday called Paranormal Stories. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the link is in the show notes. In my work as a clinical hypnotherapist, I take people through past life regression. And when you book a past life regression hypnosis session with me, and you've signed up to Patreon, you get a 25% discount. I'm offering a free consultation call which can be booked on my website. My Instagram is ourparanormalafterlife with an underscore between each word. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.